Welcome to True Wisdom, a podcast dedicated to the Word of God, studying the Word of God, knowing more about God through the Word of God. And we are in-house today with Andrew. Welcome, Andrew.
Welcome, Robert.
And we thank you guys for listening to True Wisdom. So, Andrew, now that you're in-house, is the perspective different if you're doing Bible study over the distance with someone or in the same room?
Well, that's a good question. So I've done a lot of Bible study in person, and I've done a lot of Bible study on Zoom, and I've done a lot of the podcasting. We've been doing the podcasting for like, what, 4 years now?
5 years.
Yeah.
Going into year six.
Oh, okay. There are differences, and they are the differences of regular human communication. Right. So the way that you get feedback from people and you see body language, it's a little bit different when you can only hear them. But once you've been doing it a while, and I had the advantage in one of the Bible classes that I do regularly on Zoom, I do them with people. At least half of the people there are people I used to do them with in person. So the advantage for me is that I can remember what they used to sound like when I saw them.
Right.
And so I get a chance to merge those together. But it is different. It's a different medium. And you just have to be more attentive to deal with it.
So that is encouragement. Don't let distance stop you from having Bible study with others. Mm-hmm. So what is our theme verse?
Proverbs 9:9-10. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 9 and 10.
Now, I believe I'm going to pray first,
okay,
and then we can jump right into this lesson. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity for us to be in the same place recording a podcast, True Wisdom. We ask you to be with us and bless us through this devotion. Help that the technology will work just fine, as it has even when we're apart. And help that this lesson will be a blessing to someone somewhere. Amen.
Amen.
So what do you got in store for us today? What are we going to cover?
As we come to the end of the year and into the new year, I think we should look at instruction for families, instruction to a child. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. In my Bible, it's entitled Practical Warnings. And I think that's a good title for us to use, Practical Warnings. Proverbs chapter 6.
Proverbs 6. We're going to start at verse 1. Mm-hmm. Please excuse my voice if you have any coughing today. You know, just getting over a little something. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come unto the hand of thy friend. Go. Humble thyself and make sure thy friend. So when it says make sure thy friend here, it's talking about making them whole.
Mm-hmm.
It's talking about paying them back.
Sort of.
Okay. Okay. Sort of.
So suretyship, which the Bible calls it, is co-signing.
Right. Right.
Right. And basically the scriptures, this passage in particular, is one of the key passages that reminds us, stay away from that. Don't be a surety for anyone. And here what they're saying, in this case, he's not warning us not to do it this time. He's saying, if you did it, if you did it, if you set yourself in problem, if you're snared with the words of your mouth, then deliver yourself if you come into the hand of your friend. If your friend fails to pay their debt and you are the co-signer for it, then waste no time. Make that situation sure.
I have been hurt by being a co-signer for someone, and I have hurt someone who was a co-signer for me. it is good advice to not do it. Mm-hmm. But I do understand what it's saying here. Don't string your friend out. Don't leave them out to dry.
Right.
If you're going to be surety for them, if you're going to do it in the beginning, then make sure you follow through.
Yep. You shouldn't do it. But if you do it properly.
Right, right. Verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler.
Now, pause a second. This slides into verse 6 so easily that you almost feel like it's not a part of it. Now, and it never gets back to it. So you can consider this a transition, but I kind of consider verse 6 to be a bridge verse because they were talking about suretyship, and then they start speaking about general diligence and work ethic. So go continue from 6.
Go to 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hand to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth.
Traveleth.
Aha, traveleth.
Mm-hmm.
And thy want as an armed man.
Okay.
Oh, now that's interesting.
Uh-huh. Right? So someone who's always traveling is expending great riches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they're saying poverty's going to come upon you like someone who's always wayfaring.
Right, right. They don't have time to work.
Nope.
But thy want as an armed man?
Oh, yeah. An armed man, what is he doing? He's sticking up people because he wants their stuff. He has that level of desire. And they're basically saying, your poverty will come upon you that way, and your desire, your need will be just that like great. An armed guy who has to take stuff from others.
Oh, boy. Going on with verse 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord.
Isn't that interesting? Everything about his body language is evil.
Mm-hmm. It's in his heart. He's always thinking to do something wicked.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always causing problems for others.
Yes.
Whew. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy.
Okay. Now you're going to read a passage in here. And before you get into it, I want you to realize these 6 things that the Lord hates, these 7 things that he's going to mention, they are descriptive of Lucifer at his fall.
So in chapter 6, verse 16, we start. These 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren.
Those are all characteristics of Lucifer.
Huh.
And God hates those behaviors.
I wonder, you know, the fact that he came to embody the very thing, the very essence of what God hated, that is such a mystery.
But the thing is, and I think this is important for us to understand, if we look at how he fell, we will better understand what God is disturbed by. He fell by taking his eyes off God. He was in the very presence of God, in the presence of God, having the highest job to minister unto God for the benefit of all the creation. He centered his eyes on himself. And therefore, he became opposite of God in every way.
Yeah, because God is all about
others. God, yeah. All about love. Meekness, yeah. All about love, all about service, all about truth, all about righteousness, all about unity. And he became everything. The opposite in every one of those areas.
All right, moving on to verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. And when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life.
Not finished.
All right. Mm-hmm. To keep thee from evil women, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Mm-hmm. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Neither let her take thee with her eyelids.
Now, you notice that they show these kinds of things in cartoons, right?
Oh, yeah.
The seductive.
The very thing, yeah. The thick red lips. Mm-hmm. The flattered, the look in their eyes, mm-hmm. the batting of the eyelashes. Mm-hmm.
And then the summoning of how they pull you with the entrancement.
Yeah. But that is the way it is in real life. Mm-hmm. When you're ensnared in what we would call an illicit relationship, that's what it feels like. Like you're being drawn away. Mm-hmm. Lust not, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's the exact thing. Mm-hmm. Eyelids winking at you and mm-hmm. the eyelashes moving, even when they curl and call to you. Mm-hmm. Verse 26. For by means of a whorish woman is a man brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life.
It basically says, if you hang out with an adulterous woman, if you pursue her by her means, she will destroy you. Think Delilah.
Yeah. Think Ahab and Jezebel.
Yes, buddy. That was the next one I was thinking uh-huh. about. That's the next one in my head.
The opposite of that is Nabal and
Abigail.
Right. All right. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whoever touches her shall not be innocent.
Okay, pause a second. So you'll notice, and a lot of people have asked this question, why is it that Solomon seems so much to talk about the adulterous woman? Like, why is she the instigator? And the truth of the matter is, when she is the instigator, it entirely damages the man. This is not to suggest that there are no men that are predators of this sort. But when the woman is the instigator, the man is crushed. Okay? A man who's an instigator in sexual immorality has his own sets of problems, for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay? But he doesn't destroy himself materially. His character is flawed. He is, what do I want to say? He's bad in other ways, right? His character is definitely deformed. But an otherwise noble man or an otherwise upright person who allows himself by indiscretion to fall into one of these traps gets crushed, right? Gets crushed. And so, look at what happened with David. And in this case, David was the predator.
Right.
Right? He was the one who instigated. And even so, the matter with Bathsheba
ruined it.
Could have destroyed him utterly.
Yeah, right? And it definitely affected his family, his whole entire family.
Yes, it did.
I think the point is, a lot of times we make the comparison that why isn't he talking about the men in the same fashion? But what he's giving advice to one set of people. And he's saying to a good man, be careful. You, as good as you are, you can still fall to the snares of a wicked woman.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. so that in no way turns it around to say there's no wicked men. It's not a comparison thing.
Well, I'll even say it differently, right? And this is something that we probably need to devote a whole episode to. As much as we talk about equality and as much as people don't like the idea that the Bible seems to be male dominated, what they fail to pay attention is that it is male responsibility dominated too.
A lot.
Which means when a man, young man or otherwise, does not heed a seductive woman, does not pay attention to the fact that this woman is seductive and falls for her, she doesn't get blamed.
Right.
For his mistake.
Right.
He gets blamed for his mistake. She's in trouble because of what she's doing, but he gets blamed for the mistake. Conversely, when a man seduces a woman, say, David, Bathsheba,
right.
the man pays the penalty for right. that. The woman is not substantially blamed for succumbing. Even when you go through the Levitical laws and it talked about if adultery took place or fornication took place in a city, if the woman cried out, she was free.
Right.
If she didn't cry out, there would then be a problem. But if the woman cried out, it was free. But if it happened in the field, it was assumed that she cried out.
Right.
There wasn't even a question. The idea was that she was not the primary person to blame because he took advantage. So yeah, the Bible appears to dominate from the man's perspective because it dominates from the responsibility perspective, not simply men get to do everything and women don't.
Right. All right. Let's see.
30.
Verse 30. Men, do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. Wow. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul.
See?
Hmm. And it's so interesting. He was the product of such a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. His jealousy is the rage of a man.
No, for jealousy.
For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom. Neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts.
It's weird that this particular passage isn't explained further, but what he's basically saying is, if you're foolish enough to go and commit adultery with someone else's wife, you're going to get a wound and dishonor and reproach, and that other guy is going to be angry, and he's not going to be dissuaded because you pay him off or you apologize. He is going to seek vengeance because the nature of the relationship of a man and a woman was such that it was great disrespect, significant disrespect, even in society today.
Even today.
Even in society today, when someone manages to sleep with someone else's wife, yeah, fine, we frown on the guy who did the sleeping, but the guy who was the victim of that, because it was his wife or girlfriend that was slept with, that guy we look at as until he does something to defend himself and his honor, we look at him in a diminished capacity.
Well, even to the point of when, if you're out with your significant other and someone approaches your spouse or whatever, as a man, you immediately take that as a personal front.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think women understand that.
Mm-mm.
When you, the anger that gets up in you because what they're doing, even though they're going after your spouse, even though they are showing disrespect to your spouse, the disrespect really is to you.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible is pointing this out. This is not something we're just making up. The Bible is pointing out that the disrespect was to him.
Mm-hmm.
He was dishonored.
Mm-hmm.
So when men get angry and they go after, and people say, oh, you need to check your wife.
Mm-hmm.
No, we'll deal with that later. But first we need to deal with this breach that you've caused upon
mm-hmm.
me. That needs to be dealt with now publicly mm-hmm. because what you've done is public.
Mm-hmm. We don't get that. And it's funny how many principles from scripture carry over and people don't get them.
No.
Because they're not taught as doctrine.
Right.
They're only set forth as examples and historically, and we don't get them. And then people say, oh, that's an old school way of
thinking. Right. That's old fashioned thinking, mm-hmm. yes.
No, it's the same thing. If you can be open, if you can be okay with someone disrespecting your spouse, it's a double disrespect because it's against them to a percentage and it's against you.
Yes.
Right? It's against you, and you should be willing to deal with it on both counts.
Yes. Yep. So this sums up, well, not sums up, this was Proverbs 6. And this you would call instructions to...
Practical warning.
Practical warnings. Mm-hmm. All right. So why don't you go ahead and pray us out?
Okay. Let's do that. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy and goodness to us. We thank you for being with us as we did this presentation together. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us as we study these things to understand what you're trying to teach us. Help us to understand how you want us to conduct ourselves, especially as men, heads of household, heads of families. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to provide this kind of instruction to our children, especially our male offspring. Lord, bless us, keep us, be with those who hear this, and when time shall be no more, please save us in your kingdom, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So we thank you for listening to this episode. We are close to 200. If you'd like to look at our older episodes, please go look at truewisdom.buzzsprout.com. You'll be able to find all of our old episodes. You can also find them at truewisdom.info. That's HTTPS, truewisdom.info. If you'd like to email us any questions or comments, you have any things you'd like us to cover, you can send that to questions@truewisdom.info. And if you'd like even more details on this proverb or others, you can contact Andrew
at BibleStudy.ASBZone.com. That's for the Rightly Divide, the Word of Truth podcast. And we're available on all the same podcast platforms, Google, Apple, Amazon, Spotify.
We thank you for listening, and we pray you will be blessed.